So without further ado, I'm going to introduce the first guy who is a bit of a hero of mine. He played at Liverpool many, many years ago when we were cheated 3-1 out of the FA Cup. He's got some fabulous stories to tell. He is Andy Leaning.
Good evening. Thanks for that, Steve. Lovely intro, as always. You're probably not going to plug it, but I will. This is Andy's autobiography, A Life Sentence, which Matt thought was about his wife, which was a bit harsh as she was sat there. But it's a fantastic book. I've recently just finished it. I recommend anyone get it for a Christmas present.
Thanks very much.
So there you go. And I just thought, you know, there's quite a lot of the younger audience here, for younger demographic of York City fans. So just tell us your unconventional route into professional football.
Well, yeah, when I was a kid, I was at Middlesbrough as a 14-year-old. And then I didn't get the apprenticeship to go there. And I was offered the apprenticeship to go to York City. And my dad says, no, it was them days when you're going to get a trade. And he said, you're going to go to British Rail and work to be a joiner. And I thought my chance had gone. And then when I was 22, I got a chance to play San for York City. And say within a year, we were having a great cup run. We ended up at Anfield.
Well, yeah, that was my last question, so I might as well just sack it off. When you look back on your time at Network Rail, I was sort of reading the book thinking there was probably quite a lot of skills that were transferable into football, even though the job itself won't have been, but things like resilience.
Well, yeah, I mean, some of these lads have been apprentices at football clubs, and you are actually the lowest of the low. You're there just to clean boots, I think, in their position. And for me, it was just go to shop, bring them baking sandwiches, cigarettes and papers and anything they actually needed. Until you moved on, and then you became, you know, the new apprentice walked through the door, and then it was your turn.
And things happen for a reason. That I'm always a firm believer in that, and you must be too, because Fifth must be called the office, didn't he, at Network Rail? They were short for a reserve goalkeeper. I mean, you might not have even been in the office at that time, but you were, picked up the phone, and then the rest is history, isn't it?
It was a real sliding doors moment, because the lad who'd taken my position, some of the older members will know, was like old Mike Asprey. Graham, Graham, you've got to be 400. So Mick had took the apprenticeship, but everything I did at work was making me a little bit more resilient, maybe to accept the pressures when I did become a professional footballer, particularly the sort of mental side when you're training and having to perform on a weekend, everything goes with it. But I think everything I did in the working environment maybe made me mentally stronger to handle the pressures of professional football.
And I've been lucky enough to interview people like Johnny Byrne, and I know he did a lot of work, Fifth Busby, with them, kind of him and Keith, kind of finishing drills and stuff like that, because he was a striker. But kind of reading the book, I didn't realise that he'd kind of taken you under his wing, hadn't he? And he was a big part influence on your career.
He was massive, was Viv. I mean, Dennis Smith, the manager, number one for signing me. But there was no goalkeeper coaches in those days. So you just did what the senior goalkeeper did, and Viv was good enough to be able to work a few drills and stuff like that. And he said, I'm not a goalkeeper coach, but what I can do is that I can fire a decent shot and put crosses in and things like that. So he really did help me, did Viv Busby. He was a massive part of the coaching scene at York City.
And he was kind of like the good cop, wasn't he? Whereas Dennis, in the book, he comes across as the bad cop.
I had Dennis down for a couple of weeks, but when Dunny was away, I helped just do some hosting. And Dennis was good enough to come down. It really made my day, that. But he said I had to be the one who had to lay the discipline and the rules. And he said Viv could get away a little bit with the funnier side of the game. You know, he didn't have to sort of do some of the things that I did. But as a partnership, there's all in all walks of life, there's somebody who has to be strict. And there's somebody who has to sort of cajole the lads, and that's how the partnership worked, really.
Yeah, and Dennis, I mean, he just comes across as such a hard bastard, for want of a better word, in the book.
Yeah, he was, and he used to train, and he had a winning ethic, and we used to play 9v9s, obviously, like the lads do on a Saturday, on a Friday. And if there was a tackle there to be made, he'd take it, he'd split somebody in two. It didn't really matter who was playing at the weekend. So he just sometimes made sure we all put shin pads on, and he says, I want it done properly. So.
And would he be like that when you've got like Liverpool at the weekend? Would he still be flying into tackles even though that could rule one of his key players out for the weekend?
Maybe a little bit different towards the bigger games, but prior to playing in that game, all the grounds were rock hard. I mean, I don't know what it's like at the LNER now when it's winter. These lads will probably tell you, but years ago, there was no covers on the pitch. It was absolutely rock hard. I was at the LNER Saturday, and the pitch was lovely and green. Well, by November, it'd be churned up or rock hard. So it was difficult surfaces to play on.
Yeah, and there was quite a few things in the book that I really liked. The one about Dennis again, where you were injured, I think. Your leg was black and blue. You had it in a bucket of ice water, and he said, "Let's have a look at it." You took it out, and he just said, "Yeah, I've played in worse than that."
I've played in worse than that. Well, Dennis was never better than when he had a blood-spattered headband when he played. But he injured every bone in his body, so he had an excruciating time when he used to come into the medical room and at 9 o'clock, 9:10, and he'd look you in the eye and said, "How is it?" And it's this guy, it's that gaff. He said, "Play for Saturday." Well, I don't know. And he just moved on to the next man. It was that zip. But you played with a lot of injuries in them days. I'm sure these lads do as well. But yeah, you didn't want to lose your place in the team. There was a lot of benefits to being in the team too.
And other things as well, like you had to find your own car parking spot down near the ground at Boven Crescent, which again, I'm sure what happened to the lads now.
There's a lot of people here will have been to Boven Crescent, but there wasn't that many spaces. So we used to park in St Olaves Road and places like that. So, you know, sometimes you're doing well to get there for quarter two before the team sheet was read out too, because you couldn't get your car parked. But it was all part of it, really, back at Boven Crescent. It was all part of the fun, really, that we had down there.
And Sean Hazelgrave, I was saying this to you in the bar, wasn't it? But he was sick before every game and took his teeth out. That was his kind of pre-match ritual.
Well, most players in those days had teeth missing from elbows and everything that goes with it. So, but Sean was an experienced player. And I think that's why I call the book Crossing the White Line. A friend, I helped him with his dissertation, and he was on about injury and the mental side of professional sport. And I said, people don't realise how hard it is to cross the white line. Whilst it's your enjoyment, and it's this lad, these lads living, and obviously my living. And, you know, you do carry a lot of weight. You want to do it right for yourself, your family, and everything goes with it. So it is difficult, the mental side. And even though Sean was a 30 plus experienced player playing in all positions, still got a nerves before the kickoff. Ask these lads, they'll be exactly the same.
Yeah, and you know, it's quite a ruthless dressing room as well, reading sort of between the lines in the book. And again, Sean Hazelgrave, I think when you first went in, you were in some old trainers and you said, "Oh, are they from the museum?" And you come back?
Yeah, a bit like yourself, Sean. But it was brutal. I don't always like the dressing rooms these days, but somebody said to me, he said, you get your shoulders back and walk through, because, you know, you've got to crack that environment first. Once you crack that environment, then you've got to gain your respect as a footballer on the pitch and standing, you know, shoulder to shoulder with your you know, the rest of the team. So the dressing room is something you've really got to crack, you know, and that's your own personal thing, really.
Yeah, and you clearly have quality players. Everyone knows about the team from the 80s, but kind of, I think the team spirit was obviously really, really important as well. And again, you know, many people know that Sean Hazelgrave had 4 birthdays a year, so you guys could go on a night out. But that togetherness, it obviously gained you points. And I see from the current team, they're all very together. And I think that does gain people.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was different in those days. Sometimes if we didn't have a game, these lads haven't got a game this week. But Dennis would say, "Right, we'll train Monday, we'll do some running Tuesday, and make sure you bring a pair of jeans and a shirt, and we'll end up in the Boven Tavern till about 5-6 o'clock, and then do what you want after that." But it did create team spirit, and you were sort of expected to be there. And it was just great to hear some of the stories from the older pros that I, you know, when they were talking about the bigger days. So it was all part of the culture, really.
Yeah. So the book sort of builds up to, you know, you missed out on the Liverpool and Arsenal games because you were at Network Rail. Then the year later, when you were in the team, they draw Liverpool out again in the cup. So that must have been such a fantastic experience. And I imagine that although you could go to Anfield and make a bit of a cock-up, you're kind of in a win-win situation, aren't you, as a goalkeeper going there, as a lower league goalkeeper, because you know you're going to get shots at you, and it's your chance to kind of impress, isn't it?
Well, you know you're going to be busy. It was 7-0 the year before, and I was determined not to let 7 in, if I was honest. That was my biggest bit of pride. But in that cup run, we'd drawn 4 non-league sides to get to the 5th round of the cup. And every time the draw came out, we're thinking, "Oh, it's got to be Man United. It's got to be." It was Altrincham. Next minute it was Wickham. Next minute it was Whitby Town. And then eventually you pulled the big one out, Liverpool at Boven Crescent, and then at obviously Anfield.
Yeah. So what's your memories of Anfield? Is that kind of the highlight of your career when you look back?
It is at York City. Yeah. Obviously went to other clubs, but it was just, I mean, it's like you're here at the moment. You obviously go to the games. It's just so good to watch these lot play. That was at the weekend. And when you get into those, hopefully where these lads are going to be by May this year, it's just so great to be involved. And but you know, we played against a team of internationals that day, and you know, did well to get a draw at home, and then obviously a draw in the replay, and then lose obviously in extra time. But I'm sure these lads will be doing all right come May.
We hope so. And you know, just sort of finish off. One thing I didn't know when I started reading the book was I thought it was going to cover the whole of your career, but it is just kind of almost up to the Liverpool game, isn't it? Are you planning a follow-up there? String of fellow stories?
You better ask my wife. She's the editor. She says no. But she's the one, the English O-level. I'm the one with the story. But yeah, it was just really why I wrote it was just, if there's anybody in here that has a bit of a dream or wants to do something, I thought my time had passed. And then fortunately it did come round again with a little bit of hard work and had a little bit of luck as well. So that was the reason I wrote the book. And it did finish at Anfield. And there is some more material, but I don't know if I can afford the insurance for the one thing I really wanted to write.
I'm not trying to include Neil Warnock as well. And like I say, it's available in all good books.
Yeah, shops. Yeah, it's Waterstones and WA Swiss now. So, but primarily to get it at the stadium and York Bookshop.
Yeah. Very good. Andy, wish you the best of luck with the book and hope the sales keep on rising. Thank you very much. So our next guest started his York City career 10 years ago. I think it's fair to say both he and the club have come a long way since then. Many have heralded him, including Graham, as his best signing of the summer. Mark Kitchen, everyone. So born in Gisborough, is that right?
Yeah, Gisborough. Yeah.
And I was living in Teesside sort of in the sort of early noughties, and I know everyone who lived in the surrounding areas were all Middlesbrough fans, so I'm presuming you were a Borough fan as well growing up?
Yeah, definitely Middlesbrough fan. Growing up, I had a season ticket with my dad till I was probably about 15, 16 year old. And yeah, I obviously played for the academy since I was 7 years old.
Right, so that must have been a bit of a dream come true to get a contract with Middlesbrough then.
Oh, 100%. I signed for the academy when I was 7 years old, and I left when I think I was 21 when I left. Middlesbrough, so obviously it was a dream come true for obviously me, my family, everyone involved. So yeah, definitely really good.
And they've got like a long history of sort of success with youth teams, and I think you won some sort of division, I think, as a youth team player as well.
Yeah, obviously growing up, obviously my idols were people like Stuart Downing, obviously left-footed as well as... obviously same as me watching that growing up. And our under 21 team, we won the league, and that had obviously Chelsea, Arsenal, all them type of teams involved in it. So obviously we had a very good youth team, to be honest. A lot of lads have gone on to have really good careers, so yeah, we had a good, it was obviously a really good sell.
Yeah. And you joined York City on loan in 2015, which was, I think, was your first professional game, and wasn't a particularly memorable one, because we got beat 5-1 to Accrington, wasn't it? And I remember Jackie McNamara's quote after the game. I don't know if you're aware of this, and he said it just looked like a team that were thrown together. He'd given six of your debuts that day, which kind of told its own story. What's your memories of that game and that time?
My memory of it was I was driving home, so obviously I was at Middlesbrough at the time. I played for the under-23s, and I remember getting a phone call from my agent saying that York wanted to sign me, and I wasn't too sure, obviously, about York situations type thing, because I was on the bench for Middlesbrough, who were obviously in the Championship at that time. I was on the bench for Middlesbrough three or four times, so obviously I had to check where York was. Obviously, I knew it was local to me, and I seen them in League Two, and obviously I thought it was a really good opportunity to go and play games. Then obviously I spoke to Jackie McNamara, and I think I was one of the last to sign, and I think there was like maybe 5, 6 or even 7 under 23 players who signed. And then, so yeah, it was obviously an opportunity I couldn't turn down, turned up, and yeah, found out I was playing. But I think the full back fall that day, I think it was all lads who signed on the same day, basically. So we had, obviously I was left back, we had, I know there was Jordan Hussey was playing, I think it was right back, and we had a lad from Arsenal. It was playing
Stephen O'Connor. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, Stephen.
Yeah, so he played in Champions League for Arsenal.
Yeah, so Stephen played centre half, and then we had someone else. But I always remember, obviously speaking to Ben Godfrey. I had a really good relationship with Ben Godfrey. He was a top lad. Obviously, he was a little bit younger than me, but obviously we got along really well. And I remember, obviously in training, seeing how good he was, and obviously I always used to. obviously telling him how much of a good career he's going to have, and obviously speaking about contract situations, obviously when he went to Norwich and that. So yeah, he was a really good player, Ben, and obviously I know it was only a short stint, but I really enjoyed it. Obviously, the first spell in men's football for me, and I know obviously I didn't play that much as much as what I wanted to, but I really did enjoy it.
Yeah, oh, good. We didn't really enjoy Jackie McNamara, I don't know if you can tell, but after leaving Bury, you went on to play for the likes of Rochdale, Hartlepool, Stockport, and most notable in kind of my research was the kind of FA Cup run you had with Rochdale. It was pretty incredible, wasn't it? You think you got to the fifth round and played Spurs twice?
Yeah, so we were quite fortunate with the FA Cup round that season with Rochdale. That was when I first left Middlesbrough on a permanent contract. I signed for Rochdale, who were in League One, and they were flying high, to be honest. I think we finished that season 6th or 7th in League One, just outside the playoffs, which was obviously a really good achievement for Rochdale. And we had a lot of luck in the playoff early rounds. We had a lot of lower league teams, and then it came to the fifth round, and the fourth round, we had Millwall away, and I used to play centre midfield then, so I played centre mid away at Millwall, and we win 2-1. Last minute, they scored to make it 2-2, so we had a replay back at Rochdale, then we beat them 1-0. Fifth round of the Cup, like especially FA Cup, you're expecting a good draw, and obviously we got Tottenham at home. We were getting beat 2-1 last minute. They had Harry Kane on, Son, Lucas Moura, like all the big boys were on, and last minute we scored an equaliser. So yeah, we got a good replay, and obviously that was at Wembley, and we done really well at Wembley. We were drawing 1-1 at half time, and then unfortunately Harry Kane and all the rest of the boys turned up and we got beat 6-1. So yeah, that's another story.
Good first half, that sounds.
Yeah.
You also played for Oldham.
Yeah, sorry about that.
So that's all I've got. Now, I just wondered, kind of, now the dust has settled a little bit. now the dust has settled a little bit. I wonder what your kind of view was from the other side. Because obviously there were three games last season. You played in all three of them, and very different, weren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Don't talk about the last one.
I always say the lads, especially about the first game, when York beat Oldham 2-0 at Boundary Park, I always, even when I first signed, I said how well you've played. And I remember playing against Joe Felix, and Felix was my side, and Ash Nathaniel George, and I always say to himself to this day how much they caused me so much trouble down that side. They were unbelievable, especially Felix was just kept running off me all game, and I was thinking, because obviously Joe was sort of an unknown quantity player who I never played against before that point, so it was obviously a bit of an unknown, and obviously playing against Joe, he was obviously very small and very fast, and I thought I'd be able to deal with him, but yeah, he caused me a lot of trouble that night, to be honest. So yeah, it was a long night for me, and I remember a ball getting spun over my head and Joe crossing it and Ali Pearce scoring. I was thinking, oh no, this is going to be a bad night. But yeah, in the other game, to be fair, the gaffer at Oldham sort of set us up a lot better. He sort of knew York's strengths, and we'd done a lot of game planning on sort of, obviously we knew that York were obviously a lot better team than Oldham was at that time. So we were sort of forcing them down the outside type thing, trying to play a bit of long balls. I feel like in the other two games, we just sort of grounded them down. I wouldn't say Oldham were a better team than York at that point. I would say York were a lot better. I even remember going into that game thinking, there's no chance, especially the semi-final, there's no chance we're going to beat these. But I feel like just the experience we had in the team, we had a lot of players who came back fit for the semi-final, like Manny Mont, Joe Pritchard, Corey Evans, obviously Sunderland's captain, Joe Garner up front. We had a lot of experience in that team, and I just felt like we grounded the game out a little bit better, sort of nullified York's strength, which was obviously playing out from the back. We sort of pressed high, sort of forced them to go out wide. So yeah, it was...
That's enough about that now. Yeah, cheers, man. I feel like, you know, like I think Oldham offered you a new contract to stay, and obviously you got back into the Football League. Was it a big decision to come to York? How did York persuade you to kind of...
It was an easy decision, to be honest. I spoke to Oldham, they offered me a new contract, but then I spoke to Matt at York, and it was very simple, to be honest. I'm from Middlesbrough originally, so obviously moving back home was obviously an ideal situation for me, obviously a lot closer to home, so yeah, definitely it was a very easy choice. And obviously with the trajectory that York want to go on, I see it as being a long-term plan, so yeah, definitely it was something that I was cherishing.
Yeah, and it feels like you settled in straight away, or certainly my observations are that you settled
in. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, to be honest. It's probably the most I've enjoyed my football for a very, very long time. Obviously, I knew a few of the lads playing with him. Obviously, played with Stormzy at Oldham. So, obviously, I knew a few of the lads who were really good. The group at the group at York is a very, very good group of lads who were very, very humble, very hardworking. So it's really easy for me to come in and obviously try my best to improve. Obviously, try and improve everyone else, try and improve the team. So yeah, it's a very, very easy group to go
into. Yeah, that links quite nicely to my next question. Was like, you've been promoted twice, I think, from the division, so you know what it takes to get out of it. So yeah. Do you think the current York team have got the similar sort of ingredients to those that you have been promoted with?
Yeah, 100%. I was actually saying this to the lads the other day. I feel like the team we have at York, obviously I've been promoted with Oldham and at Stockport now, and I feel like this team we have at York is comfortably better than both them teams. Easily, 100%. I feel like the quality we have in the group, in defence, in obviously strikers, midfield, I think the squad depth, I think it's unbelievable. Yeah, so I think it's a lot better than both them combined. So there's no reason why we can't kick on now. And like I said, keep this good run going.
Yeah, and I mentioned the FA Cup with Rochdale. Obviously, we had a little run this season as well, and you got your first goal against Barnsley. What was that feeling like when you scored that goal?
Yeah, obviously, it was unbelievable, especially with the away, obviously, right in front of the away fans. I probably should have scored a few more goals this season, to be honest. I was probably beating myself up a little bit. I've missed a few good chances this season. So I probably should have a few more. So yeah, obviously it was an unbelievable feeling, but then to concede last, very disappointing. But yeah, goal was very good personally for myself.
Yeah. Did it give you guys as a group a lot of confidence knowing that you kind of outplayed a team in League One for large periods of that game? And
Yeah, 100%. Obviously when the manager came in, that was the first thing he said. I felt like we dominated that game, especially against, it wasn't... like a bottom of the league, League One team. I say Barnsley are a top, easily top 10 team in that league, and I felt like we went away. I felt like we were very good. Obviously, Stones scored a very good goal that day, and yeah, I felt like the team was very good. We probably should have come away with a win, if I'm being totally honest. But like I said, it's the FA Cup, anything can happen. But we took a lot of positives from that, and you can sort of see the results we've had after that game. That obviously the team really felt like, look, like obviously we've gone away to a really good League One team. We put on a really good performance, and like when we're playing in the league, there's no reason why we can't kick on now and show obviously what we're about.
Yeah, and you know, York is very positive at the minute, but we still have a few mourners here and there, and I noticed some people saying about, oh, we don't keep clean sheets. But there was a bit on Saturday, I think, where Zach, who we've got on loan, he was sort of just on his own in a back warp. Yeah. He was sort of bombing down the left, Joe Gray obviously on the right. And is that just sort of like the caveat to the way that we play, that we are going to concede goals rather than it's something to kind of worry about, really?
I wouldn't say obviously we want to concede goals. I feel like, especially as a back three, it's normally been that it's been me, Cal and Mal. We pride ourselves on clean sheets. So it's one of them. And I feel like teams are getting a little bit lucky in that regard, especially the game against Aldershot on Saturday. Yeah, they had one shot on target, so... And I know they had a lot of possession, and I know obviously they played really well on in the first half, but they only had one shot on target, really. So it was sort of one of them where we have to push ourselves down. But yeah, obviously we pride ourselves on clean sheets, but especially with the strikers we have in our team, and the wingers and the midfielders, we know that we're going to score so many goals. And especially like you see with Malachi, how many goals he's getting this season when he's playing right at the back three. Mal's been unbelievable. So... obviously, we want to keep as many clean sheets as possible, but the main thing for us is that when we turn up on a Saturday, we want to get 3 points, no matter how that comes. If we win 1-0, 2-0, or if it comes 5-1, 5-2, it doesn't matter. Just the main thing is we get 3 points.
No game this weekend, and you got the trophy. How do you feel as a player? I didn't know if you'd had a good run in the trophy before. Or
No, I've actually never had a good run in the trophy, to be honest, and obviously the finals at Wembley, so that would be obviously something to really look forward to. But yeah, obviously the bread and butter is the league. We all know that, the manager knows that. But obviously a cup run never goes amiss, especially when it's at Wembley, which will be unbelievable for the fans and obviously all the Buzzers players to play at Wembley. So we'll be going into that full of confidence, obviously, with the recent results, and hoping to obviously get a good result.
Yeah, thank you. And then I asked a friend of mine, Ben Robinson, who many people know at the back there, to send me some questions. I don't normally do this, but I said, any questions for Mark tonight? And he said, yeah, can you ask him what his favourite kitchen utensil is? That was the best he could come up with. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
thank you for coming down
thank
tonight.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you.
Okay, so final guest. Let me just come up straight away. I won't introduce you. Ever since Paddy's event in the summer, I think we've just been desperate, me and Steve, to get you down here to the social. So A, I'm glad that you've agreed to come down, and B, I'm glad it's when you're in such a rich vein of form. You know, you're absolutely flying at the minute. You must feel really confident every game you're going into.
Finally. Finally got given a chance. I think looking back on last year, the way Hinch wanted to play, it was kind of a box midfield with your two midfielders, and then if you're playing two strikers with me and Ollie, you drop down into two tens to make it a box, and I don't really think that's my game. I've never received the ball in my own half and turned and found a pass. That's not my game. So I think coming into this year, I put a lot of pressure on myself, kind of, because when you get in the team and you've got someone like Ollie playing, you've got to make an impact because you can't keep him out of the team. And then when Barnsley come, the gaffer told me on the Tuesday I'd be playing, and I just said to myself, it is what it is, what happens, happens, and I just went into it relaxed. And that's probably the best game I've ever played. And then from then, just gone into games more relaxed, whereas last year I think probably putting too much pressure on myself coming here and wanting to make an impact and not settling for being a 20-minute impact player, which I never want to be, but obviously if that's your job to come on and impact the game, I'll do that, but I never wanted to be that, so I think I kind of put a lot of pressure on myself. But this year when the new gaffer come in, it was a fresh start. I think he's where he wants a striker to play is kind of play your own game, which is what I like. I know football nowadays is a lot of tactics, but I think, like you see in games, when we clear it and I can chase it down and do my own thing, it benefits us as a team and it gets us up the pitch, whereas other managers have wanted you to drop in and do other roles. So I think the new manager coming in suited me massively.
Yeah, and I'm sort of seeing this as part two, really, from the interview we did in the summer. And I just wondered, I never asked you in the summer, who was your kind of first footballing hero growing up? And second to that, were you always a striker growing up?
No, I was a centre mid till I was about 17. So my heroes growing up was Gerrard and Calvin Phillips, because I was a Leeds fan. So I used to go every week. My dad went home and away. I used to play for Geyser on a Wednesday afternoon, so Saturdays I didn't do anything. Used to follow them everywhere, been to nearly every Premier League ground when they went promoted. So yeah, Calvin Phillips and Gerrard, and then in the FA Youth Cup we got an injury up front and I got put up front and scored a hat-trick, and the rest has been history, luckily. Because I don't think I'd be playing football now if I was a centre mid, because it's too technical now, to be quite honest with you.
Fair enough. And you've just turned 22, I think, last week, is that right?
Yeah, the week before, the 12th.
Week before. And you've played for, you know, quite a few clubs, you've had quite a few experiences. I was thinking, you know, Wigan, obviously in the Championship, Ross County, and a team that were once in the Premier League from Lancashire. And I just wondered, how did those experience hold them? Oh. Come on, keep on. I just wondered, how did those experiences kind of shape you as a footballer and a man, really?
I think starting out at Geyser as a kid, I don't know how I nicked a move. Still to this day, I played 17 games, scored one, and got relegated, and got a 3-year deal at Wigan in the champ.
The one goal must have been a hell of a goal.
It was a header, believe it or not. But yeah, I played for Geyser, and I think it kind of shaped me into a man, playing against men every week and getting kicked the shit out, basically, and kicking shit out of them. So that was in the National North. That was the year I think York went up. I think, was it Gateshead went up?
Yes, yeah.
I think Greg Ollie was in that team. They absolutely pissed it. And then York went up in the playoffs. We got relegated on the last day. We was winning 1-0, and then I come on and we lost 2-1 and got relegated. And then I just fucked off to Wigan. But yeah, Wigan was there for about 6 months, then I went on loan. We sat down with the academy managers. I think I had about 20 clubs coming for me. I think Chesterfield, the year they went up, coming for me. And then on deadline day, Ross County coming for me, and Wigan said, you can't not go to Scottish Prem, and I ended up playing like the Rangers and Celtic.
Drove up there yourself, didn't you? So I had to put in. But
six and a half hours. I didn't know before I agreed to it, but I did when I agreed. Went up there with a lad from Wigan, and then he got injured the first week, so I lived on my own at 18 for 6 months, and I probably did me the world of good and didn't get the minutes I wanted up there, so it probably sorted my attitude out a bit and made me deal with kind of, but not neglect, but not being chosen really week in, week out. So it kind of, yeah, it built me as a person probably.
Yeah, a bit of resilience as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
And looking back to when you signed for York, was that you trying to sort of break out from that? You know, I think Wigan would have been happy for you to stay, but you'd have been playing development football or reserve team football, whatever. Whereas York, you could sort of put down a bit of some sort of roots.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason. And in deadline day that summer, Dundee United came in for me and the manager rung me and I went and seen the Wigan manager and said, I want to go because I'm not going to be playing here. There's three strikers ahead of me. I want to go back up there till January. And he said, you're not going. I want you to play for me. And then we travelled to Birmingham that day and he left me out of the squad. So, and then I didn't play then till January really. Didn't really have a sniff. And then obviously, then he let me go to Oldham a month later, which made no sense. But he let me go there and it was, if I'm being honest, between Oldham and York then. York come in then to sign on loan and sign on a perm in Jan. And then Oldham come in and obviously I knew the lads at Oldham like Kitch and I was settled there and I'd kind of already proven a point there and I had unfinished business, to be honest with you. And I think I went there and I think Luca Thomas come in, I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, kind of went there and did what I did the first time round and did what I know I can do in this division. And did myself no harm, got myself fit. And then obviously when York come in, it was a no-brainer. We were where the club were going, where they were in the league at the time. Spoke to Matt and then spoke to my agent, spoke to my dad. I always get my dad's opinion. He knows football pretty well. And we sat down and decided it was the right thing for me. And then the rest is history.
Yeah.
Well, it's not. It's only just got started on it. But
and when you got that hat-trick against Woking, it felt like a massive weight had been lifted off your shoulder. I think with your celebration as well and everything. Was that the case? Was it? Were you putting a bit of pressure on yourself back then?
Yeah, I think when I got man at match that day, when I did the interview, I kind of said, like I said earlier, I put a lot of pressure on myself that day because I said, this is probably the one time Ollie's not going to be in the team without an injury. So you've got to go out there and do something. And luckily it all went right. I think I've said before, after the two goals, that header probably don't go in if I hadn't scored two. I think when your confidence is high, and anything can happen. And yeah, that was my first senior hat trick and got dropped the week after. So.
And that's what I was going to come on to. Like, was that difficult for you? Because I suppose you're still relatively new. Ollie's kind of a main man at that time. And you don't really want to rock the boat when the club are kind of chasing the league, but at the same time you've come for a lot of money, you've done what the best you can do, which is, you know, scoring a hat-trick which exceeds expectation, yet you're left out. How did Adam tell you that you weren't playing? Is it just
he just did the team on the Friday and I went in the 11? But I kind of, when I first signed, I think as players Kitch will tell you the same, you can go see the manager if you believe you should be playing, but Ollie just scored every week, so every time I planned on going in he scored. So what can I go in and say? I should be playing in front of him when he's top scorer in the league. So I was kind of just biding my time. And then I got dropped and then he scored two that game and I assisted him both. So I was just helping him stay on the pitch. So and then before the Barnsley game, I actually spoke with the manager and got my opinions across, not about Ollie, about myself, and said, I think we can play together. I said, because he told me when he first come in, he liked what I did at Oldham. So I said, if you like what I did at Oldham, we're in the same league, give me a chance, and then it's on me. If I don't do well, then I've got no argument. If you give me a chance and I do well, then it benefits you. So, it's gone all right so far. So
yeah.
Probably should stick at it.
He should keep you in the team, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't want to kind of, I thought about this today, I don't want to really dwell on the Oldham game because of, you know, we sort of discussed that in the summer, but I just wondered, like, what are you like with setbacks? Like, and I was thinking as well, like, when you were scoring against Truro and Carlisle this season and not in the team, and then even when Stuart first came in, you were immediately in the team, were you? How are you with setbacks? How are you when we lose a game? What are you like as a person when things are not going your way?
When we lose a game, I think the Kitch is the same from knowing him for a long time now. We're probably the worst people in the world to be around. My mum and dad know not to text me if we lose because they're not going to get a text back till probably Sunday. But dealing with setbacks personally, I've had, for a young player, I've had quite a lot of injuries. I've had three knee ops. I've had a shoulder. I've done a lot, really. So I've always kind of just knuckled down and stayed at it. And I believe in my own ability, so I know when I get the chance, I can show what I can do. But I think having them injuries and, like I say, going to Ross County and not playing, it helps you deal with them setbacks a bit better and it makes you grow up, really. But yeah, after the Oldham game, we was in the change room, we was distraught, and it'll always stick with me. Lenny come in and he said to us all, he said, you have to remember this, you can't forget this when you go into next season. This has to be on your mind because you don't want this feeling again. And yeah, I think Lenny's an unbelievable person, and we've obviously seen him all on Boxing Day, but what he said with us all stuck with us. But if I'm being personally honest, when we got Oldham, I knew it'd be a tougher game than it looked on paper, because I've been in that change room, the men, they've all know how to get out that league, like you say, Kitch. They had Garns, who's been at Rangers, massive clubs. The men, Fondop. So I knew on paper we was, what, 20-odd points ahead of them. So on paper it looked like at home we should batter them, but I knew going into that it'd be an awful game to play. And I think it was one of them games, if you go one behind, it's almost like a mountain to climb, because then you're going for it and they can hit you on the counter. And yeah, it was a shame, but hopefully we look back at that at the end of this year and it was a lesson that we've learnt from, and we go up next year and
play them again
and beat them twice, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, the turning point was the Barnsley game for you, wasn't it? And I know you mentioned there that Stuart told you on the Tuesday that you were playing, but I think you mentioned to me that the centre-half for Barnsley you'd played against before, and you kind of almost knew that you had not the beating of him, but you knew you could, yeah, you could match him.
Yeah, he's from my area. He was at Pontefract Colliers about 2.5 years ago. My agent got him a move to Barnsley. I've always said I believe the higher you play, the softer the centre-halves are, excluding the Prem. If we played Chef Wednesday in pre-season, and they're number six who plays every week, I bullied him that day. And it's because they're not used to it. They're not used to big centre. They're used to technical centre-forwards dropping in, getting on the half-turn. They're not used to being bashed about. And I think that's a massive part of my game, which is probably going out the game a bit. And I think that's why it stands out when you do it, because not many people do it now. But yeah, it went well. Got the goal, probably should have had three when I've watched it back, and an assist if Banksy scores. But I think, like I said in the interview after that game, I think that day wasn't about the result or personal performances. I think it's shown, I know I wasn't here a few years ago, but I think it's shown as a club how far we've come from just avoiding relegation to bringing just short of 3,000 fans to Barnsley in the FA Cup and going toe-to-toe for them and probably being the better side, and being unlucky to come out the way we did. But I think that just showed as a club where we've come from. I know, like I say, I want to hear, but speaking to the likes of Callum Fowles and them saying how dark it was then, I think for that day we kind of come away with our head held high and did the club proud and put us probably back where we should be on the map.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that you felt Barnsley was your best game of the season. I actually thought Rochdale was. And second half, yeah, in particular, I mean, the two goals you got, particularly the first one, I really like that you were kind of 60-40 against to get that ball, and then once you got it, there was literally no stopping you. Is that just again the confidence and the purple patch that you're in?
Yeah, I think that first half were the worst I've played since Barnsley. I think I was playing for them, giving them the ball every time I got it. I think it was the black kit, because we wanted red, it was throwing me off at home, so I just kept passing them. But nah, the night before, well, if we play on a Saturday, I watch clips on the Friday night of who we're playing, or if we play on a Tuesday night, I watch him through the day on a Tuesday. And I'd seen clips of that centre half at Boston away. He'd done what he'd done there twice, so I knew if it was gone over his head. And I feel if it's a centre half looking towards a keeper, you've got three options. You take a touch, you head it back, or you kick out for a throw-in. So if you take a touch, I'm going to try my best to take it off you. If you kick out for a throw-in, you get out the pitch. If you had it back to keep it, then fair enough, that's not what I can do. But as soon as he took that touch, I knew that I'd get the ball, but I didn't think I'd do the rest of it.
Yeah, which was your favourite of the two goals? Because they were both brilliant.
The second, I don't think I've ever megged someone on purpose before. So when I megged him, I think that's what spurred me on to keep going, because I've never ever done that. I don't think I'll do that again either. But when I megged him, yeah, I kept going, and all I could hear was all the lads screaming for the ball. I was thinking, no chance. And I had in the back of my head from the Gateshead game, I missed two one-on-ones, and I missed another on Saturday, but I knew from the Gateshead game I went through twice and I should have dinked it twice. So I had it in my head, if I went through, I was dinking it. And it was a small dink, but it went in, and I think that changed the momentum of the game. And we've got players in our team all over the pitch that can do that. I think Kitch coming in is probably the best signing we've made. I think he's, you get a, not to go down, but a 7 minimum every week out of him, if not 8, 9s. and he's been there and done it. And I think you need players like that in our team. And like he says, you've got Mal on the other side, and we've got like Joe Gray coming on and doing what he's doing. I think if you want to go win this league, you don't just need your 11. I think I bided my time, and I think others are biding the time. And like Joe Gray coming on Saturday and doing what he did, it just shows the depth we've got. And I think we've got all our players coming back fit now. Banks is coming back fit. Carl's back for the FA Trophy. So we've got a squad to go do special things, and we're on a run now that's, I think the record is eight, is it? And I think we're all well aware of that, so we want to go get 9. I think that's it. I don't know.
Eastleigh as well, was it your head, the shoulder? People wanted to
shoulder.
Yeah,
went in at half time fuming, arguing with everyone. I think that Josh Lundstrom, who was at Oldham, pushed me off the ball at half time and nearly broke my arm, so took it out on all the lads. And just said, stop fucking about with it basically, because we conceded twice from it, and they didn't listen, and it worked. So they started playing the football that we know we can play. And I think all credit that day goes to Banksy and Ollie Pearce. I think they both won us that game. Comfortably, I think Banks's vision for the goals, and only got 2 goals and 2 assists, I think. But when he crossed it, I was expecting at my foot. So when it came to my shoulder, I kind of just hit it. It didn't mean to go where it went, but
instinct.
It looked unbelievable, yeah.
and the mood in the camp at the minute, there's a bit of a... there's a swagger in there to the team, and a real kind of inner confidence. And I just wondered, when you get back to the dressing room, it's obviously during the game, as fans were kind of looking at how the vegans are doing and that sort of thing. Are you, after the game, are you looking at other results and seeing how other people are doing, or are you just focusing on purely on yourselves?
Yeah, I think we always come in and check first thing, but for us, I think if you're getting 3 points, there's nothing more you can do. I think we always check around us. Obviously, that's just natural, but I think the main focus has to be on us. If we start focusing elsewhere, then that means our full focus isn't on ourselves. So I think we always do look, of course, but the us winning on a Saturday or a Tuesday is the main thing, and long may it continue, hopefully.
And 55 goals for the team this season, it must be a dream as a striker. I presume you've never played in a team that creates that many chances week in, week out.
No, and I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it's credit to the management who've come in. They have a style of play where if we're attacking with the ball, they want the back of the pitch, so our defence and their strikers, to be locked up. So you'll have, say, if they've got one up front, you'll have a centre-half behind him and a centre-mid or another centre-half in front of him. So if they clear the ball, we're onto it, and then we can put it in the box again. And it's just constant, and then eventually it'll go in. And they have positions for the strikers, so they like me to peel to the back and Ollie to be in around it with his movement. And how clever he is, and I think it suits us down to the ground, because I think if I'm at the back and the ball's coming in, I know I can score headers, but I also know I'm probably occupying 2 centre-halves, and that leaves Ollie free, and Ollie's intelligence about the game and how clever he is. I think you've seen his movement against Rochdale at home, Eastleigh away. He's always going to get in front of defenders, and he's, from my personal opinion and probably everyone in here, he's far too good for this league and the league above, and we all can't believe he's not played higher, but it's a blessing for us to have him. So I think if I know I'm not going to score, he knows he's going to score. But like, I think we've had 2 games since we've played together where neither of us scored, and we know everyone else chips in, like we say on Saturday. And I think, was it Morecambe? I think Morecambe as well, neither of us scored, but we've got quality all over the pitch who can score. And I think for me and Ollie, personally, me, having played with him before, Kitch being on that left side suits us perfectly, because his delivery is probably the best in the division and the one above. So we always know if we get our movement right, the ball will be on the money, and I think you've seen that with his assists this year and how many he's got. So.
And speaking of Ollie, is he still on penalties? Are you eyeing that up?
We've had this debate a lot of times.
I knew you would have done that, that's why I asked it.
Yeah, if it was up to me, I'd be on him, but I think everyone's quick to notice he's missed a few this year, but everyone's quick to forget how many he scored last year.
Yeah, I don't think he missed one last season.
I think his record was a joke last year, and I think, what's he on now, 16 goals, and a few of them have been pens again, so he has scored some as well. So I think we'll probably have that debate next time we get one, so you can all watch and
see Joe Gray take it.
And see Joe Gray take it, yeah, probably.
And I just, as we sort of close it off, I just wonder what your kind of personal ambitions are sort of in your career, because you've played, you know, with Wigan in the Champ, you've been in the SPL in Scotland, so you kind of know what the levels are like. Are you kind of looking to get back there later on in your career? Do you think you've tasted what it's like to play at that level?
Yeah, I think everyone aspires to play at the best level that they can. I've got 2.5 years off now, I think, coming up in Jan. So hopefully in them 2 years we go League 2, League 1, and I can do it with York. That'd be the dream. I think it's probably a club that I've been my happiest at, especially as of late. I think the group of lads we have, the fan base that follows everywhere, the town where I'm living, I'm just happy at the minute. I think whereas other places, Wigan, I was never settled. It was kind of, when you're needed, we'll use you. When you're not, just do one, basically. You'll be our last choice. And it was, I kind of just feeded a lot of lies there, but I knew I was probably deep down never going to play there. They had the likes of Charlie White there, who had the golden boot in that league the year before or something with Sunderland. They had Josh McGuinness, they brought Ashley Fletcher in. They were bringing in players from Premier League clubs and Championship clubs. So to get a chance there, a lot of managers give young players a chance, but I didn't properly get one there. But I kind of always knew it won. I don't think I had a kickstart in my career there. And I knew I needed to get out wherever it must be. And thankfully I chose here. And I think with the backing we have from the owners, from the fans, from the manager, hopefully I can be here for a long time and we can do special things and take this club to new heights and keep breaking records.
And then, and last question, I know the manager said that you there was a bit of illness in the camp last week. I also know you all went to Dublin last week. Yeah. So,
Dublin.
How ill were... Was it Dublin you were in?
Not really.
We've all seen the pictures.
Oh, right.
And how often did did Alex Hunt get ID'd when you were out there?
It was a bit of a wild weekend. We actually, funnily enough, we was all in the Temple Bar on Sunday night. And there was a song on and we was all singing Joe Gray's name. And we were saying he was the man of the match of the weekend because he was out the longest, me and him. But I give it him because he's not used to being out long enough. And then we were saying he got man of match 2 weekends in a row. And then, yeah, I was off Tuesday. I was throwing up, ill. George was off, Rory was off, Ollie Pierce was off. He's also got a broken finger that not many people know about he's been playing with. And a few overs was off, so it has been going round, and I think in the first half it showed. We was leggy, and I think we probably didn't expect them to do what they did to us in the first half, and it probably took us back, but I think it was vital. We got in at half-time 1-1 and then got out in the second half and sweated Dublin out of us.
I don't think anyone would begrudge you of your kind of Christmas day in Dublin, and you know,
quiet weekend.
I'm really pleased for you. You know, you've added your time, and I know we spoke in the summer a lot about it, and you know, really pleased with how the season's panning out for you. Josh Jones, everyone.
Thank you very much. Cheers.